You're listening to Work Tape, episode 147.
Welcome to this edition of the Work Tape podcast. It's Winnie Mitchell, Isaac Ruben Grover.
What's up, guys?
So we're going to start things off a little bit by connecting into what we talked about last week. We did review that recent Billie Eilish record. I've even had a little bit more time to sit with it. And I do really think that it's one of the stronger entries for sure. I don't know if it's as strong or if it's going to hold up the test of time as like the debut. And some people would say even the Happier Than Ever is, you know, like a classic. But I really like the direction of this most recent album. I like more of the up-tempo flavor. I like more of the pop R&B influence that's on it. But I believe Pitchfork also dropped their review on it as well. And I know you, Isaac, you generally tend to have an opinion or, you know, more formulate your stance, and then you kind of compare it against the other publications, and then it'll either shift up or down slightly depending on where others are kind of coming in on it at. So
I sometimes do it. I really try not to do it. I kind of like to have my opinion. So I try my best to like avoid as many posts on an album possible when it just releases. And I tried doing the same thing with Hit Me Hard. But with Hit Me Hard, I'm pretty positive I gave my review first or my opinion before I looked. But in seeing, like I told you from the last episode, I did kind of see that mine was on the lower side. But then Pitchfork put out their rating, which was a 6.8. And it got me thinking, because I kind of felt like giving Billie a 6 or a high 6 at best, maybe like a low mid 7. And I kind of almost regret giving a 7.8 over a 7.6. But, you know, I think that 7.8 is still fine. I don't think it's like I'm not giving it an 8 or a 9. And at least I'm not trashing on it. And I just got to say, I mean, Pitchfork has given it the lowest one. But these 9s and 10s, okay, maybe I think there were like a couple 10s, which is ridiculous. I don't think it's deserving of a 9, honestly, or even a mid 8.
Yeah, I think the 7's right in the sweet spot, just because it is significantly better than a lot of entries in the pop space as of late, but I don't think it's something that is, you know, like completely shifting culture or breaking the ground and whatnot. It's kind of just a nice continuation of a sound. It's a little bit of a divergence from actually what I would consider kind of the typical Billie sound.
I would say it's safe, but it's a good safe.
Yeah, but I do think that there is a little bit of a detour, because usually her stuff is kind of slow or, you know, down or mid-tempo. So the fact that she has kind of some club bangers or more club-friendly type music on this one is a nice change. It's nice to hear artists who are pretty familiar with one thing or who are known for one thing actually really switch it up and do something a little different. And even if it doesn't always yield the best results, like I have to at least give it credit, you know, unlike Adele, who's made the same album for like the last 10 years. But we'll get to that, I guess, in a minute.
Billie's like a more like soft Oliver Tree in her poppiness, because I know Oliver Tree probably gets a little bit more abrasive, but kind of the backbeat, that pop rock sound with Lunch. She definitely branched off Happier Than Ever with that sound.
Yeah.
And I think that it is it's a welcome evolution, a very proper one at that, in my opinion. So I think you also like it, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I do enjoy it. Like I said, I mean, I think that when Billie first came out, I thought that some people kind of like, I think, overblew the debut a little bit. I don't know if I was like...
I think they did.
I think I was one of those people where, I mean, yeah, I get that it's, you know, an important album, and I get that it's going to influence a lot of songwriters. It already has influenced a generation of especially female artists, but I just felt like, you know, they over sensationalized the debut. And so I was kind of like really hesitant to kind of check out anything else. But really, ever since the debut, I feel like I've been able to get behind some of the music a little bit more. Speaking of another artist dropping an album, 21 Pilots put out Clancy very recently. Had the chance to listen to it pretty quickly. I didn't completely deep dive into it just because, to be honest, I haven't listened to a 21 Pilots record in a while.
And it was 13 tracks, dude. It was a bit hefty.
Yeah. And I haven't listened to 21 Pilots in like seriousness like that. I mean, I did listen to Trench. I did listen to Blurry Face. I was aware of some of the EPs, I believe, that came before that. Trench is kind of the one that's held up really highly.
Dude, it's their best album. It's still their best to this day. I don't know how about you, but it's still their best.
Yeah, I just think the production, the songwriting is really the best on Trench. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Blurry Face was huge in terms of getting them like the mainstream credibility, I'd say, because there was, you know, all the really big singles were off of that record. I mean, you know, like Stressed Out, Ride, you know, were all off of Blurry. But I felt like with Trench, they kind of expanded and they took a little bit more. I think they took a little more risk. And
yep.
So there you go.
Wait, and, well, what's your take on it? Because I want to know your opinion on it so far. I mean, did you listen to a half or a third or what?
No, I listened to pretty much everything. I think there was only like a couple tracks on the back half I didn't listen to.
What's your off the cuff rating?
Probably a solid 6.
Okay. You know, it's crazy. I thought of giving it a high 6 or a mid 7. And believe it or not, because I tallied it up because I went like track to track and I was like, okay, how do I feel about these tracks?
Yeah.
I think I gave it a bit. I definitely give it higher. I gave it a 7.9 and I had a hard time because I was like, is this better than Hit Me Hard? And there's some areas where Hit Me Hard's definitely better. But then I also felt like the tracks were definitely, they're pretty well, like from track to track, like they're pretty decent tracks. The only gripe I have about this album is it doesn't touch Trench, because Trench was, in my opinion, and even Anthony's opinion and my opinion, is that Trench is definitely the best record. And so I listened to Clancy. I was like, no, it's not. It doesn't touch Trench, but it's still weirdly more unified than Blurry Face. But I heard the Vessels, the Blurry Face, and even the Trench pedigree through this album. It doesn't have, my issue with it is it's not catchy enough. Like the first three tracks are like probably the bigger ones.
Yeah.
And then after that, it struggles to keep the listener engaged. And so I'm not saying everything needs to be like this big single, but the way that it's not even spread out, you know, throughout the album,
right.
I feel like as an album, it's not that amazing. So
right.
7.9 is still very high in my opinion, but, yeah. But I've seen lower.
Yeah. So basically kind of what you're getting at is you believe that the album is a bit like front loaded, where there's a lot of stuff at the front, but then you get to like the middle and then even towards the end and it loses a little bit of steam because
the issue is that they're good. They're just not like amazing.
Well, I was reading that a lot of the fans are kind of thinking that this Clancy record is almost a mix of Trench and Blurry.
It is. Yes, you're bang on.
Which I think is great. I mean, those are the two, you know, those are the two records for sure. You know, Blurry definitely, like I said, for the mainstream, you know, pop appeal. I mean, because let's be honest, I feel like Blurry was the one that made them like household names.
Yeah, it did.
You know, it was Stressed Out and Ride. And, you know, people were bumping that at the time. And it's funny because I feel like, especially more with Ride, I don't think that track aged as well. I think some people kind of...
Oh my gosh, no, I hated that. No, I don't know. I guess I kind of hate it. I kind of don't, you know?
You didn't like the white guys doing reggae? Big
surprise. First off, there are plenty of better white guys doing reggae than that.
But you know what I'm talking about, though, in the sense that there was a period of time, especially in that mid 2010s or early 2010s, and even before then, where there was always like one white guy or a white group that had a big reggae song, because Magic, I think, was around the same time, 21 Pilots.
Oh, yeah.
With Rude. And so,
oh, of course, it's called Rude.
Yeah.
Rude Boy.
Oh, Rude Boy.
Nah, dude, I have nothing against whites and their reggae. But I definitely, you know, it's crazy. The whole situation with Blurry Face, 21 Pilots, you know, Billie has that pedigree, and she had that pedigree with Where Do We Go? Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, I felt like both albums kind of felt that same way, where it was like, let's try to put a bunch of different genres.
Yeah.
21 Pilots kind of foster the people that, but I didn't really like their brand of it. I think Trench was the first time when I heard them, I truly took them seriously from track to track. And Trench just plays so well. It's an easy eight or mid eight.
Yeah, definitely. And probably one of the better, that's one of the better rock records, I think, of the 2010s.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So I think with this one, I got to give it maybe a little bit more time. But I didn't want to necessarily, you know, drag it through the mud, because it is a good record, but I don't know if it's I certainly don't think it's going to reach the height of a Trench, but I don't think it's going to be, I don't know. I think it's going to be a little bit better than even Blurry over the course of time, just because I feel like this one, even like with, what's that song, like Routines in the Dark or something?
I forgot the track.
Yeah. I think it'll age a little bit better. I think some of the stuff on Blurry Face, while it was their breakout, while it was their mainstream, you know, record, like I said, some of the tracks just didn't really age as well. And it's kind of a bit too cemented in like the mid 2000s of like production and the kind of like, you know, rap. Mm-hmm. And that singing wasn't quite like as fleshed out as it is now, where like it's really smooth with Tyler Joseph at this point. You know, he's really honed in that sound. And I guess he does a lot of the producing on this too, with the records. So that's really cool. I always give major props with people who are really hands-on, not only just in the songwriting, but in the actual production of the record as well.
Agreed.
And speaking of records and albums, so Apple finally released their top 100 list, the rest of their top 100 list. they did the kind of waterfall microdosing kind of effect, with just dropping, I think, 10 albums at various points throughout the week. And they finally dropped the whole list. And we talked a bit about the list up until about 40-ish, which was where we last left off. And it's so funny that you mentioned Illmatic, because Illmatic ended up being 39. Honestly, with Illmatic, that's kind of on the lower side, I would think. I mean, Illmatic is one of the best hip hop albums ever made. So
you feel like it deserves to definitely be higher, which, I mean, I feel the same.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I am relieved and glad that it is on the list. And I'm glad that it is like beyond the top 50, because if it wasn't even in the top 50, I would have probably discounted this entire list, to be really honest with you.
I actually agree with you on that. You're right. It's kind of like they put it in a position where it's like you can't be too upset, but it still leaves you a little bit to be desired.
Right. And then a lot of good stuff on here. I mean, the Carole King classic, the Wu-Tang classic. The self-titled Beyoncé, that's an interesting one to have on here. Not to say that there shouldn't be a Beyoncé record on the list. I believe that there absolutely should be. I just don't know if I would have gone with the self-titled. I feel like I would have gone either with the debut or with Sasha Fierce, because I feel like this list is mostly on like how these albums affected culture too.
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly what happened.
It's not even more so the music. It's also just what kind of impact did this have on pop culture? And I feel like the self-titled didn't have as much. I would have probably gone with either, like I said, the debut or Sasha. Although Lemonade is in the top 10 on this list, so
which is chilling. I mean, I feel like if they just left Lemonade and they didn't even put, well, if they just put Lemonade, that would have been fine.
Yeah, I think actually, yeah, if they would have put Lemonade, I think that would have been good. Although I think I would have probably put Lemonade a little bit closer to like the 20s than the 10s, just off.
Yes, exactly.
Just off of my preference. And then just to see what like some of these other albums are that they placed Lemonade over. I mean, like Kid A, the Billy Records on here too at 30, which that seems a little bit too recency biased for me. I would have had it maybe in the top 50 or the top 100, but not the top 30. I don't think it was that like, I mean, it was groundbreaking for sure, but I don't think it was like that groundbreaking in regards to things. I think it could have been like six in the 60, 70 category, and I would have been cool with it. Low End Theory, love to see it.
Same.
Dark Side of the Moon, of course. Although I think that really probably should have been closer to the top 10.
Oh, totally. At least in the top 15.
Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy was the Kanye they went with, which makes...
It's the safe one to choose.
It really is. I would have loved to see 808s and Heartbreak on this list.
I mean, we would have loved to see it, but they weren't going to put it.
That's what I would have loved to see, just because I felt like that album was like way more influential than like...
Would you have been bothered if you'd seen Graduation, even if it were like in the top 50?
No, because I think it's a good record. So I don't think it's as... A lot of the Kanye fans, you know, that there is that meme of, oh, you know, he made Graduation, so therefore he can do no wrong. I don't think the album is that good. But
do you think any album is that good?
No, but I do think that if it was on this list, I wouldn't be mad about it. A Kind of Blue classic.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. I think that's got to be closer to like top 15, top 10, though.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Rise and Fall's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Ziggy Stardust. Discovery was the Daft Punk record they went with, which I would have liked Ram. I think Ram is better, but I understand that I think with Discovery, it was a little more like influential. It was a little more inventive of a record. So that's why they were going with that one. Bruce on this list. Born to Run is an interesting pick, though. I would have thought that they would have gone with maybe Born in the USA or Darkness on the Edge of Town, maybe even too. But I get Born to Run because it's kind of it's a definitive Bruce record. Revolver, Pet Sounds.
Obviously, but it's crazy that it's top 20 and not top 10. But I mean, to be fair, I got to be honest. I'm not a big Pet Sounds guy. I just acknowledge its cultural impact. And therefore, I permit it to always assault my eyes every top 10 list. So I'm chill with it, you know. So I'm kind of almost bothered that it's in the top 20, not top 10.
Yeah. The Chronic is on here. 1989 Taylor's version is over the Chronic, which is insane. That is insane. And that is the thing, of course. Leave it to Taylor for her to make cause a stir with this. Here's the thing. Actually, 89, I think, is probably the best Taylor record if you're really going
to 100% agree with you
from a pop and culture standpoint. But why the Taylor's version of it? Why not the original, other than just not supporting Big Machine? That's the issue that I have. I don't think that in terms of even like the Taylor's version of these records, I don't even think that's the best. I think Red, Taylor's version, is better.
It's not fair to put Taylor's version like that. I feel like that just shows more partiality. It really cements, it makes her look bad, the fact that it's even on the list.
Yeah, I think it's wrong. I think that like 89, the original, would have been fine. If you're going to throw a Taylor record on here, which, let me be honest with you, if you're going to have a top 100 list and you don't have a Taylor record on it, then that's almost as bad because, you know, Taylor has definitely made a mark on music.
Yeah, but not that kind of mark, not top 20 mark, and definitely not Taylor's version mark.
No, it's got to be like 89, and I would have put it at like 70. or maybe 60. I don't know if I would have even had it in the top 50 myself. But thankfully, What's Going On is above that. So I'm very happy that they didn't decide that Taylor was over What's Going On,
because I knew you'd be over the moon.
I would have probably rioted. But yeah,
21.
Once again, I'm glad that What's Going On is in the top 20. Really think it should be in the top 10, but I digress. Joni Mitchell, Blue, Adele 21 over the Marvin.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I mean, that is a good record from Adele. Don't get me wrong. That is.
Yeah, but it's not better than Marvin Gaye good.
No, it's not. And then Bob Dylan and The Blueprint by Jay-Z.
Yep.
Great Jay record. And a great Dylan record too, actually. OK Computer with Radiohead. No In Rainbows.
No, but they did do OK and Kid A. And I'm actually really, really happy they put OK over Kid A, because everyone's obsessed with Kid A.
Yeah.
And I just would rather see OK over that. So now I'm OK. Rumors, we knew would be there.
Yeah. Rumors, of course, had to be in here. Actually, I think that's actually pretty fair. I think 11 is good.
That's fair.
I think that's a fair listing. I know a lot of people personally who would have that in the top 10. And some people may even have it in the top 5. I think even my producer, Jason, said that Rumors is Thriller for white women. But is what he said. I think that's what he said.
That's such a Jason take.
Yeah, which to be honest, I mean, in some ways, he's not entirely wrong.
Now, poor Jason, because I think this is, by the way, this is what makes this list so stupid. Like, fine.
Billy.
Yes. No Police. You put Billy. You even put Amy. And we'll get to that in a second. But you literally put not one Police record. I think that's a crime. You should go to jail by the Police. Like, it's ridiculous.
You should get the Police to send you to music jail.
That's what I'm thinking.
But another spoiler on this, which made me upset, no Weeknd at all.
No.
They had Drake on here, which is the closest the Weeknd got, but come on, no After Hours at least, please. Like, no Trilogy or anything. Like, come on now. Like,
I think that's crazy.
Yeah, he revolutionized a whole set of R&B, and yet they don't put a single album, but yet they have room for Usher, which don't get me wrong, Usher's a talented dude, but I don't know if I would say that for the genre of R&B, if he did as much as The Weeknd has done.
So never mind. Obviously, they put that in there. I still feel like it should have been top 5, but that's fine. Back to Black. How do you feel about that?
You got to have Amy on this list. And I mean, that is
not top 10.
And that is the Amy record to choose. I just don't think that it's in the top 10 caliber. I think it could be probably top 30, top 40, but not top 10, especially when you didn't have like classic albums too, like, Tears for Fear song from The Big Chair, or, In Rainbows that we mentioned. No Jeff Buckley on this either, which is kind of shocking.
And no Butterfly, but you did get Good Kid.
Yeah, that is the thing. Yeah, I mean, I understand why they went with Good Kid, just because I think that's a little bit more of like an accessible album. But it still kind of bothers me that they didn't have T-Pab on here.
So Songs in the Key of Life, obviously.
Oh yeah, I'm perfectly good with Songs in the Key of Life at its current placement, actually. But Blonde by Frank Ocean.
Right?
Okay, here's the thing. I think Blonde is not a bad record. I think it does deserve to be on this list.
Yeah, but not 5.
No. And to be honest, for as far as the Frank records are concerned, quite frankly,
I was thinking the same thing, bro.
quite frankly, I think that Channel Orange should be higher.
Same.
I think I prefer Channel Orange over Blonde. Don't get me wrong. I get why Blonde is so sentimental to a lot of people and so emotional to people, but I think Channel Orange is the more cohesive record. It brought Frank in the mainstream. I would have gone with Channel Orange, and I would have had it, like I said, in maybe top 20, top 30, but definitely not in the top 10 or the top five.
Same.
Purple Rain, great.
That's fine. Abbey Road, of course, which is, I thought they actually put that at number one, to be honest. So
yeah,
Thriller. I thought it was going to be Thriller or Abbey Road number one.
Yeah, but they're 3 and 2, which is, it makes sense. But number one, this is one that's going to be interesting. The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill at number one. I know some people are relatively happy about this. I know some people are really not.
I'm kind of fine with it, to be honest.
Yeah, my stance on it is I think that's really going to come down to preference.
Same.
That's a great record. I mean, it's such a good record that Lauryn Hill has coasted off of that record for 20 years, pretty much. She didn't really make a follow-up record, as you noticed. Although there are rumors that she's in the studio right now as we speak. But we'll see if she actually shows up to said studio, knowing her and being late to her own concerts.
So The Clash with London Calling. That one's fine because I was thinking that they were probably going to throw in Unknown Pleasures by Joy Division.
Yeah.
But seeing London Calling made a lot more sense commercially. So I was like, okay, that's fine. That's like the post-punk pick, you know? So Ready to Die, that's fine. And then did you ever listen to Jagged Little Pill? Because I tried getting into this one and I just couldn't do it.
I've heard some songs on it because I think you hear it on like 90s radio. You hear Alanis on it.
Fair.
And some people say that even like Olivia Rodrigo reminds them of like Alanis Morissette.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I know there were some people who did not like Asia's placement on this list, which I think is wild.
Right.
You got to have Steely at some point on this. To have it at 73, though.
No,
I don't know.
Queen is Dead, The Smiths, that deserves to be on here. I'm glad they did that one over. Well, Meat is Murder is not necessarily considered the best one. I think that's a lot of people's least favorite, but I'm glad they put Queen is Dead on here for sure. It's worthy of it, of a mention.
Yeah, definitely.
How'd you feel about SOS being on here?
I think I said the last time that we covered this, but it was another instance where it's a great record. I just think that it's a little too recent for it to be on there. At least just from my perspective. But yet again, I'm the same guy who also said that After Hours should be on the list. And that album is only, you know, 4 years old. But, you know, at least with After Hours, I do feel like, especially with that one coming out in the pandemic when there was really no other music coming out. And that, you know, became, you know, kind of the defining album of, you know, sort of the pandemic period.
Right.
And just with the huge success of like Blinding Lights, I think that it should have been on here. I don't know if it should have been, definitely shouldn't have been like top 20 or anything like that. But
I don't think that Billy should have been in the top 30 like that too.
Yeah.
So that's just my take.
I think those both should have been closer to the 50, I think. I think that my overall feelings with the list is that there are some solid picks. It's not like some lists that I see where I just am mad immediately over it. And I do appreciate that there are some more recent records in terms of stuff that people are actually listening to right now. But I do think that like the Bad Bunny inclusion, the SOS inclusion and whatnot, I just think that it's a little too soon. At least with some of those.
Some of this was too appealing to the Gen Z and some millennial biting a little bit. I mean, I understand why Eminem and 50 Cent are there, so that's fine. But like the fact that there are a lot of Gen Z picks here that were kind of like not warranted. If anything, I would have expected them to be higher up.
Yeah.
But the fact that they put them so like down the list was just kind of odd. And then again, the omission of Police. I'm kind of okay with the no Coldplay. I'm not saying like they have to be on here. I'm a little bothered they didn't at least put Rush of Blood. I feel like that's a very important album of the aughts, but whatever. That's fine if they didn't want to put that and they just wanted to put Is This It to represent all aughts rock.
Yeah, but let's be honest. I mean, I feel like that was kind of a little bit of a surface level pick. You could have gone with some other records. There's no Queens of the Stone Age either,
which would have been appropriate, but that's fine. Honestly, dude, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's an okay list. And then
touching on the Taylor versus Beatles aspect of things, because I've been seeing that they've been getting compared a lot more pertaining to their hits. So that'll be a very important thing to get in next week.
Yeah, not a bad list at all. And speaking of lists, Consequence also released a list of post-grunge songs. So we definitely could get into that as well, because we have some opinions for sure about those artists.
For both things, for sure. And then some people are claiming that Foo Fighters are not post-grunge, they're alternative, which I think that comment is ridiculous. So next week we'll answer whether or not Taylor should be compared to the Beatles, which I don't think that they should. We will get into that and the post-grunge. This has been Isaac Grover and Mitchell Palmer on the Work Tape Podcast, and you guys have a great week. Peace.
Peace.